Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and we are coming up again to another appointed feast time, Yom Teruah, also commonly known as Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to be discussing that today. I know there's a lot of people that are new to Torah and understanding this, so I want to give people an idea of things to explore and a more appropriate understanding of this particular holy day, one of the important holy days found in Scripture. And just to clarify up some things that are tradition versus biblical, and cover this for many of you that are curious about this. Now, I've done a good amount of teachings in the past on this topic and on this particular day. So I ask you and invite you to go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, or here to my YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries, to explore about the teachings of this this day. So before I get started into my readings, and I'm reading two books today, one of them is called A Celebration of Messiah and the Festivals. A Celebration of Messiah and the Festivals by Susan Moretimes. And then I'm reading an article that I found here on Messianic Fellowship several years ago. And I'll be reading some other sources possibly as well. But before I get into this, let me say that there's a misunderstanding or a difference of our understanding of the different types of calendars that are out there. There's the rabbinical calendar, which has the days on a certain time each year. But more biblically correct would be by the sighting of the sliver of the new moon of when these days are to be celebrated. And we don't know that at the beginning of each year. We have to wait till it comes closer to that time to know when the new moon is sighted. And I don't want anyone to get confused at this. You know, as your understanding becomes more clear and the longer you're involved in the understanding of the keeping the feast and the holy days and the calendars, your understanding and ideas will most likely change about not what to keep or to observe or to practice, but when to do them. So at this point, I don't want anyone, at any point, I don't want any confused or distracted from the importance of the actual day and what it means, as to oppose of when is the appropriate time to keep it. Now, the scriptures are clear and tells us the season and the time to keep it. But again, because of man's teachings and understandings and differences, there's a difference of the exact appropriate time to keep it. It's usually one or two days off from each other. Sometimes it perhaps might be as much as a month off. But the focus is doing your best to observe the best we can with what we got these days, and not to get distracted by these things that often keep people away from these things. In time, as we pray and Yahweh opens up our eyes and reveals these things to us, we'll learn more of the correct calendar of our Creator and hopefully keep it at a more appropriate time. So the rabbinical, which is what most people do when they say Happy Rosh Hashanah or Happy New Year, is a set time. And then the sliver of the seeing of the new moon is, and these are just two of the many different calendars out there, is more, I think, more biblically correct, but not as many people are following that. So if you have a local Jewish synagogue, they might keep it one day. And if you have a small Torah fellowship group, they might keep it another day. Don't get distracted with that. For example, this year, Monday evening and Tuesday, actually in the Jewish tradition, it's a two-day celebration. In the biblical, it's one. And it's this year, the rabbinical starts on Monday evening, going into Tuesday and Wednesday. And from my understanding, the new moon is supposed to appear, or the sliver of the new moon is supposed to appear on Wednesday night going into Thursday. So don't get confused by all that, but I just wanted to mention that. The key is to keep it. Now, the reason why I put Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, this is another misunderstanding of the tradition of Judaism versus the biblical. The biblical, it's called Yom Teruah, and we're going to read a little about that and what Yom Teruah is versus Rosh Hashanah. Another confusion of this is many people say, Happy New Year, meaning head of the year or new year. And so my Jewish parents and many other Jewish people think Rosh Hashanah is the new year. It might be the new year of Judaism, but it's not the new year of the Bible. But the Bible says in the month of April is the first of months. And so that would be the new year. But from a traditional standpoint, Rosh Hashanah meant the new year. And we're going to talk about that. But it's not the new year. It's the day of making noise. Now for a new covenant understanding of this. In the scriptures, it says when Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, the one many people refer to as Jesus, is going to make his return, there's going to be a loud blast when he comes back. And even though no man knows the day or the hour, it says, or it points to, it's going to be during this season, because this is the season of making noise, or the Feast of Trumpets, as it's called. And so many people think that this is the season he's going to make his return, and this is what that loud blast is going to represent, and so on. So these are just things to consider out of these things. Now, also, when we look at the birth and of our Messiah and the conception date of our Messiah, we know one thing for sure, that it wasn't December 25th. And some people say, you know, so we see you got John the Baptist and then you got Yeshua. And some people say, well, John the Baptist was born around the time of Passover. And then you had 6 months later, Yeshua was born around the time of a Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles and also Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, and also Yom Teruah, or Rosh Hashanah, are all around the same time. These are known as a fall feast. And some people will say that this is the time that Yeshua was born. Some people say Feast of Tabernacles. That's always been my understanding. But some people say it's the Feast of Trumpets. And it's definitely not December 25th, and it's more properly around this time. So that's another thing to consider. So keeping these things in mind, let's read a little about the Feast of Trumpets. Then we're going to look at what a book says here about the old and the new traditions of Rosh Hashanah. So the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, is a day when the shofar is blown to awaken Israel to an amazing event, Amos 3:6. It is a call to Israel for the coming judgment and return of Messiah Yeshua, Zephaniah 1:14. The great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and comes quickly, even the voice of the day of Yahweh. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly, Zephaniah 1:16. A day of the trumpet, or the shofar, an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Yom Teruah is the first seven-month feast. Falling directly on the day of the new moon, it is seen. It is the only feast specifically commanded by Yahweh to keep on the new moon day. The seventh time the shofar is blown to proclaim the new moon in Yahweh's calendar is the month of Ethanim, the seventh month. Yom Teruah is the beginning of the count for all the seventh month Moedim. If Israel was not ready for the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of Interim, the high priest would surely not survive his command sprinkling the blood of the Holy of Holies. Yom Kippur is the holy time, and the 9 days between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur are a time to prepare and a time to be thankful that Yeshua the Messiah, the high priest, and the high priest. Atonement was the only time that the high priest was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies. This is an important testimonial to the amount of preparation we are to make for the Day of Atonement. The only chance that we have to survive spiritually is in the following of Yeshua's example. One of the commands, for example, that Yeshua observed is a set appoint, parted time, Yom Teruah. So now it's known traditionally, I'll say this is away from the reading, the time between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur is known as the days of awe, the 10 days of awe, and so on. But let's continue reading the scriptural evidence. It says in Leviticus 23, we find that Yahweh gives instruction to keep the weekly and annual Sabbaths. In the seventh month on the first day, we are to keep Yom Teruah. Yahweh calls this feast Zaron Teruah, which is translated in the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. Yom Teruah is called a holy convocation, which means that is a day when Yahweh's people are to come together in worship. Leviticus 23:23-25. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing the trumpets of a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. The Hebrew word for trumpets is not actually found in Leviticus 23, verse 24. The Hebrew teruah is translating blowing of trumpets. This is a memorial to commemorate the future start of the Messianic kingdom and the return of Messiah Yeshua. Since Yom Teruah relates to the seventh new moon, it shows the perfection of Yahweh's plan for salvation through Messiah Yeshua. This is also a connection between Torah and Messiah. The blowing of the shofar was the thunder that the children of Israel heard when Moses was given the law on Mount Sinai. Exodus 20, verses 18 to 20. And all the people saw the thunder and lightning and the noise of the trumpet shofar and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed themselves and stood far off. And they said unto Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but don't let Elohim speak with us or we will die. And Moses said to the people, fear not, for Elohim is coming to prove you, and the fear may be before your faces, so that you don't sin. The word trumpet in Exodus 20:18 is the Hebrew word shofar. This loud shofar blast really scared the people so much that they asked Moses to speak with Yahweh for them. Solomon was inspired to write that the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 9:10. Yeshua demonstrated this wisdom throughout his life by giving the glory to Yahweh. We must forsake evil and live like Yeshua. Sin should be the farthest thing from our mind. We are Yahweh's chosen if we live as he teaches. The sacrifice that Yeshua, the Messiah, gave to cleanse his people has given each of us the ability to step from the waters of immersion without sin. Sin is an immense problem today, just as it had been since the beginning of time. People of the world do evil today and would have never even been thought of 30 years ago. People of the world today do evil that would never even have been thought of 30 years ago. The world is perpetually accepting sin, but those that do follow Yahweh are condemning as being unloving and legalistic. The truth is that if we love one another, we look out for one another. Yom Teruah shows that we must be ready at all times, because as in the time of Noah, people of the world went about their business as if nothing was wrong. They missed the boat and all the signs of the impending flood. There was only one family that Yahweh found uncorporated. Confirm to Yahweh and he will inform you the impending disaster, just as he did with Noah. We have to be careful, always watching what we allow in our lives. Cleansing our lives starts with Messiah Yeshua. The cleansing can be painful, but like a cut, once it is healed, we don't cut ourselves again. Yeshua has given us the path to the Father through the different life of the world. Part of that different life can be found in Yom Teruah, which is a feast of joy for the return of the Messiah Yeshua. At the last blast of the shofar on Yom Teruah, we look for the change to an immersible form. And then now the shofar. The shofar here says there are certain places in the scriptures where two silver trumpets are used, and others where the ram's horn is used. These two silver trumpets were to be used by the priest only and depending on the sound of the children of Israel would be moved accordingly. The ram's horn was blown at the new moon. The teruah of the shofar is a cry for us to awake and become an active part of Israel. Teruah is Strong's number 8643. Teruah from 07321. It is translated of as shout 11 times, shouting 8 times, alarm 6 times, sound 3 times, blowing and 2 times, joy 2 times, and other 4 times for the total number of 36 is used. One alarm signals sound of tempest. Shout, shout or blast or war of alarm or joy. 1A, alarm of war, war cry and battle cry. 1B, a blast for a march. 1C, a shout for joy with religious impulse. And 1D, a shout for joy in general. In both Numbers 29:1 and Leviticus 23:24, the word for blowing is teruah. The shofar that was used to announce the arrival of Yom Teruah was preferred to be of a ram's horn. Jewish authorities prohibited a cow's horn from being used because of the worship of the golden calf. Teruah is the rhythm that can be sounded on the shofar. Teruah is usually defined to be a long blast with 3 peaks during their blowing. There is some controversy over the exact sound that is to be made, but the shofar was blown throughout Yom Teruah. And the conclusion in this article is, now is the time to awaken and walk with Yahweh. As the prophets of old, you have been given a calling and you have heard the calls for change. Yahweh is calling, and with only a short time left, we cannot be lukewarm. We must be on fire for the word. We must be willing to teach in season and out of season, when it is convenient and when it is not. Our decisions affect our children. To whom or what have we dedicated to our children? Have we dedicated them to succeed or fail? I pray that we set our children on the right path, which leads to becoming the children of Yahweh through Messiah Yahshua. We must use our lives to serve Yahweh, because when we don't, our spouse and our families follow our example. We must rely on Yeshua for the example we follow. Each year, as we prepare to keep Yom Teruah, we must keep our minds and thoughts that this could be the day of Yahweh returns, or Yeshua returns, especially as we see things getting worse. We must read the scriptures and walk as Yahweh desires of us to walk, so that we are a good example for our families, following the Torah of Yahweh, because we love Yahweh and all our brethren. We must ask, do we have 7 years left? Only Yahweh can answer some of these questions. But be sure of one thing. We must be awake and zealous, working, because the time is short. I pray one day each of you hear Yeshua utter some of the most beautiful words we could even ever hear. Well done, good and faithful servant, as found in Matthew 25:21. Now, I am going to read the book now that describes the tradition of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. But this was a more accurate understanding of the Yom Teruah. And I am reading, that was from a website, Messianic Fellowship. So I'm reading now from this book here, A Celebration of the Feast of Yahweh, and the background. Now remember, the Jewish people call it Rosh Hashanah, the new year. It's it's not the new year, but this is the traditional understanding of what this day is. It says Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. It is one or a two-day celebration of the beginning of the Jewish civil new year. It falls in September or October on the first day of Tishri. This festival is considered the anniversary of the celebration of the universe and of mankind. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, 10 days later, represent Yahweh's redemption of mankind. The days from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur are called the 10 days of repentance, the 10 days of Ah, or the High Holy Days. These 10 days are a time of introspective, a time to recognize and confess failures to others, to ourselves, and to Yahweh. This self-examination is meant not to cause self-condemnation, but to motivate us to seek forgiveness and to start the new year older, wiser, and determined to have a deeper, more intimate, and loving relationship with Yahweh and our fellow man. So as we see, even though Yom Teruah is not, or Rosh Hashanah is not a real day, it's really Yom Teruah, the principles are the same of the 10 days in between, what these days represent, and it's a good background understanding. Now let's look at the story of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the Jewish civil new year. So it's a civil new year. It's not the biblical year. It's the biblical Yom Teruah, the day to sound the trumpets or the shofars in Numbers 29:1. This day has four themes and names in addition to New Year's Day, Rosh Hashanah. Number one is Yom Teruah, the day of trumpets. Teruah was established by Yahweh during the time of Moses. As it says in 29 of Numbers 1-6, on the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets or the shofar. As an aroma pleasing to Yahweh, prepare a burnt offering of one young bull, one ram, and seven male lambs a year old. And without defeat, they are offerings, without defect, they are offerings to Yahweh by fire, a pleasing aroma. Numbers 29:1-6. Trumpets play an important part in the festival with their sound and their symbolism. They are sounded 100 times on each of the 10 days of Av, and they symbolize some of Yahweh's actions. Ram's horns or shofars that sounded at the Mount Sinai when Yahweh made his covenant with the Israelites remind us that Yahweh is always working towards having a permanent, intimate relationship with mankind. The ram caught by the horn, the shofar, in the story of Isaac, reminds us that Yahweh is merciful. He provided a ram to die in Isaac's place and a savior to die for the sins of the world. Another name would be Yom HaSarin, Day of Remembering. This is a time to reflect on the past. It is a traditional to remember loved ones who have died. People visit the graves of family members and reminisce on the past before moving on and celebrating a new beginning of a new year. And then the birthday of the world. Rosh Hashanah is considered the end of the world with an emphasis on Yahweh's ongoing relationship with man. He is the king who created our world and continues to renew it, who created man and continues to pursue a relationship with us. We celebrate Yahweh's loving interaction with mankind with its many new beginnings of creations. The first was on the seventh day of creation when Yahweh created man and began, on the sixth day of creation when Yahweh created man and began a relationship with him. Next was Noah when Yahweh remembered him in the ark and dried up the flood waters to start the world over again. The third day of creation was the languages at the Tower of Babel, languages that still baffle us today. How often our words have caused misunderstanding and even our own language. We also study Sarah and Hannah, who were barren and had nothing to look forward to but death. Then Yahweh remembered them and gave them sons and new beginnings. Each of these sons would change the world. Also, there is a story of Yahweh telling Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, but it was not the end for Isaac. He was given back to his father a real way. It was a new beginning. And then number four, young Hadin. Hadin. Day of judgment. In the Jewish tradition, a person's good deeds and bad deeds are weighed on a scale. The good outweighing the bad, the person's name is written by the book of life, ensuring life and health for the next year. People believe they have ten days to repent and make amends before Yahweh seals their faith for the year. Each year, people facing judgment with dread, wondering if their good deeds will tip the scales in their favor. Yeshua stated that people will be judged not by balancing good or bad deeds, but simply by their response to him. This is what he said. Yeshua gave them this answer. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleases to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment into the Son. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe in Moses, you would believe in me, for he who wrote about me. John 5:19-46. So we understand now that's the Jewish traditions of these things, but we understand now the new understanding of these old traditions, the sounding of the shofar. For the whole month, the festival, the ram's horn of the shofar is sounded every morning in the synagogue. It is to stir our slumber spirits, waking them to reflect on the past year during each of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. A total number of 100 blasts of the shofar is sounded.
Brothers and sisters, we have run out of time for today's broadcast. You can see this full teaching on our YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries. If you haven't observed Rosh Hashanah, which is also known as Yom Teruah yet, this would be a great season to start. As believers, we are called to follow the calendar of our wonderful Creator, and it's such a blessing to do so. So check out our YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries. And I will say, this is not just for Jewish people. This is for biblical people. It's a biblical holy day, not a Jewish day. So keep that in mind. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers, and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministry. Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts, while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-322-4374.